via the GIPA Act of 2009, which is promptly made available for public to review via the council website. I note there's no apologies at this stage, but I can't see Councillor Del Duca. I can't see Councillor Del Duca on there, so we might just have a mover that is apologies and leave be accepted. It's been moved by Councillor Furneaux-Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried. Declarations of interest by councillors. I'm just going to declare it a non-pecuniary, less than significant conflict of interest in my own mirror minute, funny enough, because I noticed one of the volunteer groups that they've put there to donate $500, which is St. Macarius, while my wife is not a member of any of the executive, she does at times do one day a week volunteering there, most times. Did we get that, Michelle? Michelle, are you there?
Okay. You're on mute, Michelle.
Michelle's on mute.
Sorry, I'm trying to type and talk at the same time. Which organisation was it?
St. Macarius.
St. Macarius. Okay, yes, I've got that.
So she does one day's, usually, I mean, not it's not consistent, but most times she'll do one day volunteering. That's free for pay as well, so she doesn't get anything for it.
Thanks.
In admin. Welcome, Councillor Dixit. Okay, so any other declarations of interest, councillors? Declarations of political donations? Any member of the public wish to make a declaration of political donation? I'm not sure if there's any planning decisions here, but there's a recording of councillors voting on planning decisions if need to be. Confirmation of minutes for the last meeting held on the 25th of May 2021. It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manner. That the minutes be approved and accepted as a true and correct record of the proceedings of the minute. Speakers against, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried. Now we have a public forum for residents to lodge submissions or speak. I note there's no submissions that have been lodged. However, there is a speaker, Mr. Sadie, Patrick Sadie is, I just know Councillor Del Duca is actually in attendance at the meeting.
Yes, that's correct.
So Patrick is speaking tonight in open forum. And I'll just note, Patrick, if you can hear me. So I might just get you to unmute, Patrick, if you can.
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you now.
Thank you.
Patrick, I'll just note that you have 3 minutes to address the item, which is the Merrill Minute 14/21, which is requesting an interim heritage order and preliminary heritage investigation of number 11 Seal Street, Burwood. So welcome, Patrick. Just a reminder also that discussion, debate or questions involving councillors or staff is not permitted. The subject matter really only is to be discussed and personalities are not to be addressed. So welcome, Patrick.
Thank you very much. I'll be brief as one can be. A couple of things, one procedural. I'd like to correct the summary of the mayoral minute. It refers to the demolition of an existing two-storey house. 11 Seal Street is in fact a one-storey house. So I think that should go on the record, should it be of any significance, which I doubt. The second thing I'd like to address relates to the first matter to be moved upon, and that is the request for a gazette of an interim heritage order for a maximum period of 6 months. I think that there may be a misconception, because under the provisions of section 29 subsection 2 of the Heritage Act, the default period for interim heritage orders is in fact 12 months, subject to any shorter period. So if it in fact be the case that council is acting under a misconception, I'd like to bring it to council's attention. And there doesn't appear to be any reason, if I can say this with respect, as to why the default period of 12 months should in fact be reduced to 6 months. And I think it would be appropriate for council to allow the default period of 12 months, because then it won't place any advisers or any further inquiries or investigations under difficulties in terms of meeting timelines. The next thing I'd like to address is the review of Seal and Island Streets. I think it's commendable that council is doing that. If I can throw in my two bobs worth, the idea is that perhaps the areas relating to Minna Street and other surrounding streets should also be included, so that the entire area can perhaps become a conservation area rather than being kept to these two streets alone. I promised, in effect, I wouldn't take up too much time. I don't want to take up too much time. A lot of work has gone into the report prepared for council. I think there can be absolutely no doubt that Section 25 of the Heritage Act has been complied with, and that further inquiries and investigations are warranted, given the support of the Heritage Officer of Burwood Council, and it appears that the legislative requirements have been met. So I fully commend to council to pass an affirmative resolution, other than in what I suggest the 6 months period be changed to the default 12-month period.
Thank you. Thank you, Patrick. And I'll put the question regarding 12 and 6 months to the general manager when we're discussing the minute. And there is part 4 and 5 of the Merrill Minute, which I've added, which is to do some preliminary work on Seal and Island Streets to consider whether there are other properties that have been missed or slash areas. Michelle, I can't find that on my latest Merrill Minute. So I'm not sure if you've got the latest one there, if you could email it through. I just noticed it's not, my one's only showing the first three findings, but I had emailed Kayla back today. But thank you, Patrick, for your time. And I will, we will, I've just lost everybody there. So bear with me one sec. So we will discuss that at the time we get to the meeting. All right, now, I might just get you to go back on mute as well, Patrick, if that's okay. There being no other speakers, we might go straight into our mayoral minutes, if councillors are comfortable with that. So I think the first item, if you could just bear with me, and sorry, we've sent the Merrill Minutes a bit late because we're still doing some work right up to this afternoon, until we had sent them. And secondly, we just wanted to make sure that we got things correctly with regards to Seal Street. So the first Merrill Minute, councillors, is 13/21, which is a build council awarded for excellence. Have councillors had the opportunity to read that minute? Would you like me to go through that or just pretty much read the actual minute? So, firstly, I just want to say a big congratulations to the staff, all those that were involved in receiving those excellence awards, and especially with regards to, I know our staff and our workers out there in the field are very dedicated to our graffiti removal program, as well as all our other programs that come under our Build Cares. So if there being no questions, I'll put the minute that the report be adopted. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Next item is item 14, which is requesting the interim heritage order. If I can just ask you to bear with me a moment, I'm going to try and pull up the latest minute, which had the changes. So sorry, bear with me. It's a bit hard trying to do all this online. Okay, so many of the councillors would be aware that we had a number of submissions that have been received with regards to the heritage investigation for 11 Seal Street, Burwood. One of the things is that it has obviously come about because the property has recently been sold. And on that basis, there's been an application lodged to build a new two or so storey home. That's currently in the assessment phase, and that's being dealt with by planning staff and not for the council to comment or be involved in. However, some great work's been done by some of our local residents. I've been contacted, like many of the councillors, by two of them, Michael and Patrick, who have also come and met with myself. I think Michael, on behalf of residents, had also done an extensive report, which I was again reading through today. I think just from the pictures alone, you could see that the property does have a significant, has significant character and presence, not just within Seal Street, but within pretty much that whole sort of block there, especially with a number of heritage listed properties, I think one being at number 8 and one being on the corner of Burwood and Sewell Street. It's quite, and councillors have seen this, where we've had some properties that have been missed off our heritage register. In saying that, one of the things we wanted to ensure is that we maintain a process and having discussions with residents as well as the general manager and staff, we decided the best way to go about this is to actually put forward a mayoral minute. In saying that, we did have council staff who had given some preliminary advice and have also requested that this action now be taken because they believe it warrants the possibility of being listed as a heritage item or at least looked at. So that's why I've put up a mayoral minute. The last time I guess we had this process was with a property in Gladstone Street. Unfortunately, it was then demolished a few days later. I believe now the advice that the general manager has received is that we can actually enforce the interim heritage order and we actually put it together and then it gets gazetted by Heritage New South Wales. Now, Tommaso, while you're there, Patrick raised a number of questions. One was with regards to this conflicting advice of 6 months and 12 months. Did you just want to make a quick comment regarding that or just answer that, please? Tommaso?
Yes, Mr. Bear, I'm just going to see if I can activate my video. I might ask Dylan also to jump in, but my understanding is we're actually following the directions that come from the ministerial order, which effectively delegate the powers to obtain an interim heritage order to council. And that ministerial order effectively has provisions that basically explained that the interim heritage order will lapse after 6 months from the date it is made. I believe that those provisions trump the Act, which the Act makes reference to the 12 months. But I might just get Dylan to just confirm and add to it if he can.
So have we sought, just on that, have we sought advice from the department on this, or is this something that we've actually sort of come to the conclusion based on our own advice? Have we at least sort of double checked it? Or
Dylan, would you like to jump in?
Thank you, General Manager. Just to confirm that we have been in contact with the department, and they've outlined the procedure for us in terms of obtaining the gazettal for the interim heritage order. There's probably a couple of things just to cover off on and confirm in that the General Manager is correct. The powers to issue an interim heritage order are given to council through a ministerial order, which was adopted in April 2013. And that sets out a couple of procedural matters that we are required to follow. And I think just for the record, it's important just to reiterate, whilst we've absolutely reviewed and considered the submissions made by residents, an appropriately skilled and qualified heritage advisor has conducted a preliminary heritage assessment of the property and reached the conclusion that it is likely to have local heritage significance. And it's important to note that that's a requirement under the heritage order that the person undertaking the assessment is either employed or retained by council. I just want to confirm that has taken place. The second aspect to that is around the timing for the interim heritage order. The conditions handed to us by the minister stipulate that there must be a condition on any interim heritage order that it will lapse after 6 months unless there is a council resolution to indeed adopt the property as having local heritage significance. So that's certainly the time frame that is passed down to us from the minister. And I think following recent matters, we, from our point of view, we're very comfortable in terms of being able to conduct the more detailed heritage assessments required and pass the matter through through a formal process to get the property formally heritage listed, if indeed that's a conclusion we make at the conclusion of those investigations.
Dylan, is there an opportunity to change the minute to 12 months, or are you saying that's not legally?
No, look, that would be contrary to the gazetted ministerial order, which stipulates it would lapse after 6 months unless there is a council resolution to adopt the property.
And so, what is the process going forward if council adopts the minute tonight? We have an interim order that we've requested. When does the interim order actually come into effect?
We are poised to issue that through to the department. So that would be gazetted with the department this week. It's also required to be placed in a local advert, placed in local press. So the order would be in effect by the end of the week.
And what's to stop? If this obviously now being public knowledge, what's to stop this having the applicant go and have a PCA issue a demolition certificate? Yep. So are we quicker than that process, or are we ready to lodge tomorrow with the department or heritage office?
Yeah, we would be quicker than that process. So for a compliant development certificate, a PCA is required to give notice to council for a period of 10 business days. Before they can issue a valid CDC for demolition. So that would give us time, even if they lodged today, give us time to obtain the interim heritage order and have that brought into effect.
Okay. And just one other question before I hand over to Councillor Furno-Cook, who also has a question. So what's the process going forward now? So we lodge it, for example, tomorrow. I know that we've had some discussions and we believe... we're preparing that for this, if it is endorsed tonight, that we've got all the paperwork ready to be lodged in the morning. I know you've had some contact with the department already, and we're hoping it'll be issued this week. What's then the process from there, just for the councillors to understand and also residents?
Yeah. So from there, the interim heritage order would be formally gazetted and brought into effect. We would then be... most likely engaging an independent heritage advisor to do a full and complete assessment of the property. And that will bring back a recommendation as to whether or not it is indeed of local significance to be a heritage item. We'll be reporting that back to council. And then subject to the findings, we will be seeking endorsement to continue on with a planning proposal to amend the LEP and have the item listed as a locally significant heritage item.
So we're hoping that that will be completed before the 6-month expiry period?
We'll be working to that time frame.
Okay. And I know in the report that one of the recommendations that I'm putting forward is that we've asked that it would be done within the next 3 months.
Yep. That's the time frame. We'd be seeking to bring it back a paper to council within the next 3 months.
Okay. And if that's obviously not met, is there, I know we've allowed some form of process where if you miss a council meeting, it might be 4 months. I'll get Councillor Fernay-Cook to ask her question, and then we might sort of change the wording on that just a little bit to give you a little bit of flexibility in case you need that 4th month. Councillor Fernay-Cook?
Yes, hi. Look, I just wanted to... I'm still a wee bit confused through you, Mr. Mayor. Just regarding that 6 to 12 months, because I've got the legislation in front of me, and it does say an interim heritage order remains in force for 12 months or a shorter period as may be specified in the order unless it is revoked sooner. So that's in the legislation. So I just want some clarification for that, because I think it is, I mean, it may be a moot point, but I think it's an interesting one. And then I've got two further questions.
Yep. Dylan, did you want to address that, please?
Yeah, look, through you, Mr. Mayor. I guess specifically under Section 25 of the Act, the Minister authorises councils to make interim heritage orders. And through that, so Section 25, Item 5, the Minister may at any time publish in the gazetted notices, either withdrawing council's authorisation or changing the conditions of the authorisation. So in effect, that the ministerial order that gives powers to council to issue interim heritage orders include conditions about the nature in which they can be issued, which then takes us to the matter of it being limited to 6 months. So rather confusingly and complicated, it sits out of the Act and it sits within a separate ministerial order.
Oh, okay. So that's why I've been saying, because it's not fair. Through you, just regarding, and I think that the Mayor's highlighted it as well, through you, Mr. Mayor, just a question about councillors would have received correspondence about the council's ability to have emergency powers to make an interim heritage order. I mean, we lost Tilba, we lost Gladstone. What happens is this is with a public certifier. What happens if this opens over Christmas where we don't meet for like 3 to 4 months? So what are, and I probably would seek maybe point six that would, you know, council further investigates the heritage order. I mean, we should have a lockstep sort of process. But so what are the emergency powers that staff understand for that ability, so that it's not that, you know, waiting period that may not coincide with a council meeting?
Well, I believe I might get Dylan to address that again, but we did look at this question to see if I could use emergency powers to put in or request an interim. I believe the legislation requires a council resolution. From what I believe, that's the advice I received. But Dylan, did you want to whether clarify that or so? I mean, that's the advice I received from the general
manager. Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I guess we are working on a council resolution from May 2010, which I guess formalised the process for officers to obtain an interim heritage order. The steps for that were, firstly, officers required a council resolution to undertake the preliminary investigation to determine whether an interim heritage order was warranted, and then a second council resolution to actually go out and obtain that interim heritage order. So I guess just in terms of the timing and sequence of events there, we've got a month, if not a 2 month lag time between becoming aware of a potential item of local heritage significance and then being able to act on it, that information. So I think to resolve that, there would need to be a change to that particular council procedure to, I think, allow officers to act more expeditiously, but with obviously the appropriate check and balance through council. I think in this scenario, we haven't sought to circumvent that process, but we have sought to bring this matter to councillors' attention more quickly, given, I think, both the community interest and also the pressure that the development application has raised in terms of that raises the prospect of there being imminent or pending danger of the property being either damaged or demolished.
Okay. Councillor Crichton, you had a question?
Thank you, I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, could I ask our staff, please, just in the very best interests of transparency, do the owners or applicants know all the details about the mayoral minute that's before council tonight?
Dylan, did you want to reply?
Yeah, look, through you, Mr. Mayor. Under the legislation, we're not required to notify applicants or building owners of the interim heritage order. And I don't want to say for obvious reasons, but obviously the risk there is we alert a building owner to the interim heritage order, and they go ahead and demolish, and that's a concern there. An applicant does have the right of appeal against the interim heritage order, and obviously they can make representations to council through the statutory process.
So they will be notified after the gazettal, I believe. Formally notified, is that right, Dylan?
That's correct.
Okay. George, Councillor Manning, you had your hand raised for a question.
Yes. My question is, if the owner demolishes it, what do we do to stop? How do we stop it, and what are the penalties?
Well, Dylan, did you want to write some comment?
I'll look at in terms of penalties, I'd have to take that question on notice, that they would be contravening an interim heritage order, so council would have powers to take them to court and seek prosecution against them. What value of that prosecution is, I would have to come back to you, Councillor.
Councillor Furneaux-Cook, you had another question?
Yeah, just with number four, which is the heritage items with the larger area, would council also consider, or did staff also consider investigating maybe not those individual items, but the street with as a conservation, which would allow more opportunities for residents to make changes to their properties, but maintain the streetscape. If it is about a streetscape issue, or is it about individual heritage items? So the question is that being considered as well?
Yes, that's the intent. So I've spoken to the general manager about that. So it was the intent to include those two, which I included this afternoon and was discussing with the general manager over the weekend, was to potentially look at whether there's the opportunity. And then obviously it would involve workshop with residents, surveys, but I think at this stage it warrants a preliminary sort of look at it from our staff, and then for them to advise council whether there's the ability that, you know, warrants to go to the next step, which will then be a report to council.
Okay, so it encapsulates, you know, option A, individual heritage, option B, conservation zone.
Yes. And that was a discussion with the general manager and today, and it could include a wider area. I think what we have to do also is possibly in that maybe workshop and work out how we could, you know, recently council has just been putting together a notice that we'll put up on site, which is a bit of a, I think it's called, I'll hold up a bit of a prop, I don't think you can see it. It sort of just gives residents something to read with regards to building and development, how approvals are made now, what the processes are. I think we need to do some form of information / education program regarding conservation areas, what they mean, what you can and can't do, and what it means for them. Because what happens is we've had this issue in the past when we've had other conservation areas that council has endorsed, where some residents might get spooked. They feel that it's going to decrease the value of their property. You know, they start to feel afraid that they can't change, you know, the colour of the paint inside their home, which, you know, it becomes a bit of a scare campaign. You know, my experience with some of our conservation areas, like the Melvin Hill Conservation Area, for example, is probably the most expensive pocket maybe in the build LGA. You only need to look at places like the Appian Way, which recently had a record sale of $6.6 million for a state-listed heritage item. So that's not even a local conservation area. So I think we need to bring the community along with us. I think it's reasonable. I mean, you know, having walked, and I'm sure many of the councillors have probably, walked through Island Street, Seal Street, even Minna Street, and noticed that, I know in Minna Street there's a number of heritage listed homes. There's also a beautiful Victorian home on Billwood Road just opposite Wyatt Avenue, which is owned by a local Greek family. And in saying that, I think there's a beautiful pocket there, and it's probably has been overlooked and maybe deserves, further investigation. There's some people might be thinking, well, are we going, a bit too much to the conservation area? Well, I think, from what our policies have been in the past, if we're going to constrain growth within the town centre, then we need to give assurance to residents and the community that we're going to protect the character of our residential homes, and that's the intent. And so on that basis, I believe if we're getting advice that those areas deserve to be protected, then we need to look at that and possibly do that, just like this home here. Again, I would like to thank a couple of residents. I think there was over 60 submissions, but in saying that, in the past we have had submissions where, people have tried to use, an interim order to stop a development because they weren't happy with it. But you only need to look at the pictures in and outside of 11 Seal Street to understand that, and its story. It's got a great story. I recommend to the councillors, if you haven't yet had the chance to read the report that Michael provided in our email. But in doing that, and I'd like to thank Michael and Patrick for being heavily involved in organising and arranging residents and making them aware and the council aware of this, because we could have lost what could be a significant property with a great story. And that's why I've been prepared to put this minute forward. Is there any other questions before we move forward? So I might just to sort of tidy things up while we, around the confusion, I might just ask Dylan, is there any, help in having a maximum period of 6 to 12 months while you clarify that, Dylan, or you're quite confident that it's the six?
I would be confident that it would be 6 months, given that it's taken directly from the ministerial order. But I think for the benefit of the resolution, if it was alternative wording to an interim heritage order for the longest period possible, or wording to that effect, that would give us that additional time.
So longest period. So we're going to change that, Michelle, if you're listening. Michelle? So we'll change that to, it's part one, which we'll now read for the longest period possible, legally possible, or longest period possible under the current
legislation.
Part three, I'll just put the findings of the investigation and recommendations to be reported back to council within a period of the next, what I say, I know you're aiming to finish the work within 6 months, within 3 months, Dylan, but is it safer to have six? I just don't want to rush the process and then we have a...
Yeah, look, I want
to make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's to ensure that anything we do legally holds up. That's all. I just don't want... Because that technically, I mean, if you don't bring it up within 3 months, you're in contravention of the resolution.
Again, maybe if I could suggest alternative wording to report it back to council at the next available meeting following the conclusion of the investigations.
Yes. Keeping in light, we're going into caretaker mode after the end of July, and then you've got a council election in September, if we're still holding one, depending on COVID. I just want to ensure that we don't miss any steps which could then possibly provide a legal challenge, that's all. The general manager initiates preliminary in-house review of Sill Street and Island Street review, identify any additional potential items of historical significance or possible listing of a conservation area.
And I just like to see through you, it's your mayoral minute, if you'd be comfortable with a point six, which would be for staff to update council's current procedure for making an interim heritage order that reflects the needs of emerging issues. I don't think we should be going back to 2010. We've kind of, that's, are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, I think we need to, well, I don't think they can do it. They're going to need a resolution. So maybe that staff.
But that's part of the resolution.
Yeah, isn't it? But to make changes to the policy, they're going to need a resolution. So what I was going to is that staff investigate the current policy.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, true.
With a view. Help me here, Dylan, with a view to. Strengthen council's positions in
well, it was the procedures that Dylan was talking about. Yeah. Council's current procedures for making an interim heritage order, it's dot dot dot.
How about staff investigate the current policy on issuing interim heritage orders and report back to council. Make it simple. Okay, I lost my chain of thought. There was something I was going to add to one. So the general manager initiates a preliminary in-house review of Seal Street Island Street and adjoining streets and any adjoining streets. So Seal Street, Island Street and any adjoining streets. Councillors happy with that? Do we have any other questions? Do I have any speakers against? Okay, just quickly, I'm going to put the minute so it gets endorsed. Dylan, just finally, so are we ready to go to shoot this tomorrow to the Heritage Office?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. We have papers on standby to get this matter up and running. And gazetted as soon as possible.
Okay. I might just add a part six, so make 6-7, and maybe a part six that the mayor write to residents updating them on this issue, just so formally we've written to residents. So mayor write to residents and those that have made submissions to update on them on this issue, on this matter. Okay. Just quickly before I put the minute, thanks again to local residents. I think there was three residents that attended this evening. I think it was Laura Rentu, I think it was, Patrick, and correct me if I said that wrongly, not Patrick, Lorentu, and Michael. And also thanks to Michael and Patrick for their involvement in bringing this matter to council and obviously the report that Michael put forward for reading and information to the councillors and some of the feedback and I guess advice Patrick has also given his legal background. So thank you to them. I'll hand over now to put the minute to councillors. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? I declare the item carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Now the next item, councillors, is item 15, which is Bellwood Council tackles plastic pollution. As councillors are aware, we've got a zero plastics to waterways policy that we had adopted a couple of years ago. One of the things that I guess we're all quite passionate about is ensuring that, you know, we have a sustainable strategy that looks at ways to reuse items, recycle items, being environmentally conscious and so forth. One of those, as I was talking to some of the councillors about prior to the meeting beginning, was a chance encounter with Cheryl Balzac from Scouts when I was out at Croydon Park a couple of weeks ago with the general manager doing a bit of a walkthrough at the Croydon Park Shopping Centre and doing a bit of a survey with shop owners. And one of the things we noticed was Cheryl had a bag that was recycled from material. I can't remember the material that was used, but it was quite decorative. We got into a discussion about that. I then advised her that we actually are piloting a program where we reuse council's flags. So the flags that we actually put up on our flagpoles obviously have a limited use date and use. So we then obviously piloting a program how we can reuse those and making, I guess, bags out of those or shopping type bags that we can then hand out to residents. Ticks a lot of boxes for us, as well as ensuring that that material doesn't end up in landfill. So one of the things that Cheryl did discuss was that she's got a volunteer group through Scouts, which they put these bags together, and I think they were $2 each or just over $2 each. So we got into a discussion about possibly council agreeing to use our local Scouts via a donation, which will allow us to provide them with the materials and they can put together 500 of these boomerang bags. So we could, and I think the 20 posters is the $200. So then we can obviously hand those out to members of our community to use. So we can phase out shopping bags, plastic shopping bags, that is. So is there any questions regarding that minute? I'll put the minute. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. The next minute is, there's some funding that we had left in our, and I think it was about $8,000. So I was having a discussion with staff about some of the obviously issues we're having now with going back into lockdown, which I think is a bit depressing for everybody, and obviously seeing some of the work that our local churches and charities like community welfare services and so forth are doing. So I thought that out of the $8,000, we can use $6,000 of that to donate some funds to some of those groups that are doing some charitable work amongst the community, and also some of those dealing with emergency issues like the Women and Girls Emergency Centre. So is there any questions regarding that minute? I'll put the motion, I'll put the minute. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried also unanimously. Now, our next item is the notice of motion, which is NM5/21, which is traffic concerns Mitchell Street and Portland Street, which is raised by Councillor Dixit. Councillor Dixit, do you want to put your motion?
Yes, to you, Mr. Mayor. Do you want me to read the whole motion or?
Yeah, I might just get you to read the motion, and then obviously, if there's questions, we'll have questions, or and then. But we need a seconder. So, do I have a seconder for the motion? It's been seconded by Councillor Fernando Cook. Okay, Councillor Dixit.
Okay. Local residents have recently provided feedback in relation to the traffic issues in Mitchell Street and Portland Street and Pete. Residents have reported a number of incidents of high speed and dangerous driving along both Mitchell and Portland Street and Pete. Residents have noted these streets are used regularly as a shortcut to surrounding main roads and are frequently used by trucks and other vehicles accessing Flower Power and Hanley Park. Consideration should be given to the installation of traffic calming devices in both Mitchell and Portland Street, a reduction in the speed limit to 40 kilometers, and the installation of no right turn signs on the corner of Mitchell Street and Coronation Parade, preventing vehicles traveling from the south of Coronation Parade to enter Mitchell Street and vehicles from Mitchell Street turning right onto the Coronation Parade. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I move this motion. I request the general manager to investigate the installation of traffic calming devices in both Mitchell and Portland Street, a reduction in the speed limit to 40 kilometers, and installation of no right turn signs on the corner of Mitchell Street and Coronation Parade, preventing vehicles traveling from the south of Coronation Parade to enter Mitchell Street and vehicles from Mitchell Street turning right onto the Coronation Parade. Once the investigation is completed, the general manager to refer any recommendation to the Burwood Local Traffic Committee for review.
Okay. Are you happy to take some questions, Councillor Dixon?
Yes.
Do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Firstly, I'd just like to thank Councillor Dixit for his notice of motion, but I do have a couple of questions. I'm just wondering how this issue actually came to his attention. That's one thing. And the second question I would have is, wouldn't it be more appropriate perhaps to have our traffic committee actually conduct the initial investigation, the thorough investigation? Isn't it that their job, and perhaps put traffic counts on the roads? And I realise that we're spending a lot of money down in Henley Park at the moment. I too have a great interest in ensuring that it's as safe as possible for our community, but I just want to make sure that the steps we take are correct and that we're not setting up another body like the general manager to investigate something that could quite easily be done by our traffic committee.
Okay. Councillor Dixit, did you want
to? Yeah, to you, Mr. Mayor. I happen to have the opportunity to meet residents from the thing on the Mitchell Street, and they happen to write it to me, and then I pass the letter to the general manager. And then there's another resident who actually is a trained police officer by coincidence. He lives on the Portland Street, and he again wrote a very professionally, a good report, a letter in regard of this. And then it was again sent to the general manager in that regard. And the third, there was an incident was reported to me from the resident. Even we can see that a boy actually took the vehicle inside the helipad. And you can see the damage which is being done in the grass even today. So there were cases which were reported, I mean, by the residents. I personally met them and it has been sent to the general manager. So a lot of work actually is being done.
I think the way the motion's written is because it's asking for about four or five things in there. Maybe we bullet point what's been asked, like to make it clearer. So it's just general manager investigate. Maybe we have the general manager request the council's traffic department and get investigate. My other question is I don't think you can ask for it, but I don't think you're going to get a reduction in the speed limit to 40 kilometres an hour because it's in contravention of state road rules. So I don't know if you want to include that in there. I can
probably... To you, Mr. Mayor, there have been some cases which actually a letter was written to me and sent to general manager by a professionally trained, I said, police officer who lives around there. Although it's in resident capacity, he wrote it. And the speed which he was able to observe was, the violation was up to 120 kilometers or something. So there are facts, if you could go back to those, letters, it can be shared among the councillors too, in that regard. I would say that.
Well, I think there's a process before we install, there's a process that you need to go through with RMS, and that council has to meet a number of warrants. But in saying that, the general manager can reply to it. So that's your motion. Can I just probably suggest that we have the general manager request council's traffic group investigate a new paragraph, bullet point one or bullet point, the installation of traffic calming devices,
yes,
both Mitchell and Portland Street, just to make it a bit simpler for the staff.
Okay.
And Portland Street, then obviously number two is a reduction in the speed limit of 40 kilometres. Get rid of and.
Okay.
And do a new one, the installation of the no right turn signs in the corner, travelling from the South Coronation Parade and vehicles from Mitchell, and I think that's it. Okay. Did you wish to speak to that? I think you've spoken. Any other questions? Councillor Ferno-Cook, did you wish to speak? Anyone wish to speak against? I'll put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. So thanks, Councillor. Our next item is general business. So we're in general business now. 39/21, which is the adoption of the operational plan and budget. Do we have any questions?
Councillor? I just went through you, Mr. Mayor, just with that supplementary...
I'll report. We need to add
that. Report. I think just that...
Just before you do, Councillor,
yeah, I'll
just get you to move...
I'll move it as recommended.
No, I'll give you to move a procedural motion to add the supplementary report to this.
Oh, okay.
So it's been moved by Councillor Ferno-Cook, a procedural motion, seconded by Councillor Manor, that the supplementary report that was sent to Council via the email regarding the operational plan and budget be included in the item on the business paper. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried. Sorry, now back to you, Councillor Ferno-Cook.
Oh, no, that was all right. I'm moving it, but I also asked the question. I mean, the resident makes some very good points, and particularly the one about the LED lighting being a cost saver. And I suppose I just want to make sure that in any of our new builds, so, I mean... any of our new builds, such as or projects that we're undertaking, the netball lighting, etc., that we are looking at those like LED lighting, etc., because that's a saving to obviously towards net zero, but it's also a financial saving for council. So that's a question.
Yep, I might get the GM to respond. All our new projects, I believe, have new any lighting that's installed is obviously the new environmentally sustainable lighting, which is LED lighting. Just by way of information as well, council has, being a member of Southern Sydney Regional Organisation, which is SS ROC, we have a lighting program in place where all our street lighting is actually being replaced with LED lighting for pretty much three reasons. One is it's environmentally more sustainable. Two, it has a longer life period, so it provides a cost benefit to the community. And three, it has a higher lumen, so it actually gives you better lighting for less energy use. So while we had a policy in the past where lights that needed to be repaired were being, street lighting this is, were being updated with LED lighting, I believe as quite recently, Build Council was one of the councils under the ROC model that actually had all our lighting updated, all our street lighting. But I might get the general manager to add to that if he wishes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just actually going to say exactly that. We were the first council in the SS ROC group to have the 100% of our local roads swapped from traditional lights to the LED lights. And I think the progressively the other councils, they've got obviously a larger areas, are getting obviously the new type of lights. And I think the next phase will be to probably progress onto state roads and ask for upgrades in that sense. In terms of our buildings, wherever possible, any replacement of lights internally or in buildings is done with efficient lights. In my office, the new library and hub and office building has also got is all equipped with sensors across the corridors in the rooms. So if obviously the sensors don't detect any movements in the room for a number of minutes, they just switch off as well.
Does that answer that, Councillor Fernacook?
Yeah, I suppose where possible is I suppose we've got to kind of have a policy stance. But that's for the sustainability policy in the future. And also just as the interim, I know that we're doing the car park down at Henley and we might be doing other car parks. And I thought the point about electrical vehicle charging points was pretty valid, because that's one of the things that is a real, apart from the cost of the vehicles themselves, but, you know, you just can't go anywhere to charge them. So are we making those possibilities before we meet the full sustainability program? Are we actually activating that as well through you?
I believe, and I might get Dylan to, because he knows a bit more on this, but I believe we're actually looking at when we're updating our LEP and DCP going forward with regards to a number of changes within residential buildings, for example, to investigate whether we include EV parking stations and end of destination services like change rooms, locker rooms and so forth in commercial buildings for people, bike parking stations so people can actually ride to work, you know, jump into the locker, get into the shower, change, you know, have a change room and so forth, whether we, you know, have other facilities within those buildings to meet the needs. One of the things about EV parking stations is I believe we've signed up, Dylan was talking to me a couple of weeks ago about a program that we're signing up with a company and a pilot program that is, which is converting, and I saw this recently on the news, I think only last week, which are converting the big green energy boxes, you know, the sub power stations, to actually convert them to EV parking stations. So they're just not in council car parks. But the point on council car parks is obviously point taken. If we're going to ask developers to include EV parking stations in future car parks in their buildings, then we should obviously have lead by example in that. So we would be looking at that. But Dylan, did you want to mention any more on the pilot program that we're possibly looking at on the substations for which a company can actually convert, rather than have a big green box, it actually become a power charging station for electric cars?
Well, look, I think you've covered it, Mr. Mayor, but I guess this is part of an agreement between a private company and Energex to convert the substations into electrical charging points. And this is part of, an initiative to increase the use of EV vehicles and come up and overcome some of the kind of worries people have about range in electric vehicles and allow them to recharge within the streets. So we currently have that as a proposal with officers at the moment, but we're likely to receive that as a formal development application within the next couple of months. And it's certainly something, I think, from an officer point of view, we've been actively supporting as a good initiative for the community. There will be other things that we look at as part of the LEP review and subsequently the DCP review. A lot of councils now are requiring not necessarily an EV charging point, but certainly conduits and infrastructure to be placed within new developments to allow EV charging to be retrofitted into a building in the future. So all of that infrastructure is there in place, and it's just in case of putting in the wiring. And that's quite a common provision now. Wollara Council have adopted something similar within new developments within their local government area. And I think a number of councils are taking a similar approach. I think it's a very valid approach to take, and we'll be investigating that through the DCP amendments.
Thank you, Dylan. And Council, just on that submission as well, I think Council has a policy or is investigating a policy to look at ways to have or comply developers to install solar. I would probably even like to go further in that when we're doing our DCP and our LEP updates that we possibly look at. I know I've seen some developments which have had, for example, water reuse, water catchment, solar built into those. There's new technologies coming out every few months. Anyway, Councillor Manor, you had your hand raised. Did you have a question?
Yes, I do. My question relates to the supplement in item 48/21. I just wanted to look some clarification on, if possible, if this is the right time to ask. On page 4, on where the dot points are, it says, so financially incentivize active transport for council staff. What's that mean? And salary sacrificing for internal combustion private cars.
Okay. Did you want to answer that, Tommaso? Or?
Yeah, look, I think, firstly, I think we need to clarify that this is a submission from a member of the public. So it doesn't mean that council will take this as instructions to the letter.
Okay.
It is just a submission, so we'll assess it and incorporate it in any kind of planning for the future or plans such as their sustainability plan. My understanding, obviously, incentivizing active transport for council staff could be like encourage having bicycle stations or end of journey facilities so that staff might be more keen to come by bike. And the next two points, I think, that need to be read in conjunction. So it will be ending any kind of salary sacrifice, any financial incentive for our internal fleet. I read it that way, that relates to petrol cars. and introduce financial incentives to incentivize the choice of electric cars. Actually, this is electric bicycles. Okay, that might be a bit more difficult.
that's something I think we can.
So we will definitely, we are certainly looking at all these sort of solutions. As we put in our commentary, obviously, needs to be done in a methodical and responsible way. So it's, we can't adopt this sort of this kind of list just overnight. But there's certainly good points to take on board.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Yes.
Councillor Cryan.
Yeah, sure. Just a quick one, just about Enfield Village infrastructure works. I note the $1 million upgrade. Can I just ask a general question? Are we splitting Enfield Village into stages?
I believe so. Do you want to clarify, George?
Yeah, George, or I'll try. I mean, Councillor, as you probably recall, we were unsuccessful in the in our grant application. And so obviously we were hopeful to fund the full project through that grant plus additional funding from council. Given that we didn't get it, we thought we'd allocate a component in our budget for next financial year. And the idea would be to fund it in stages and then continue to apply for additional grant funding, obviously, as we go along. But I don't know if George or Brooke want to add to it.
I think that answers the question, so I might want to just move on. Is there any other questions? It was moved by Councillor Furneaux-Cook, is that correct? Was that moved away? Seconded by Councillor Crichton. Am I wrong? Or was it? Yep, okay. So I will, any speakers for or against, any speakers against? Put the motion, all those in, Councillor Furneaux-Cook, you're right, I reply. Or there's no speakers against, so I'll put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I would declare that carried unanimously. Next item is alternative waste arrangements. Can I just say that while do I have a mover? Been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Furneaux-Cook. Can I just suggest some changes? Because I put forward, I think, the Merrill minute from memory. And while it was to look at alternative solutions, it was also to reduce the visual litter of waste bins or receptacles, if you want to call it that, along the streets, especially on the main roads and in the town centre. I don't think the report addresses that as well as I would like. So can I suggest some changes, if the mover and seconder are happy to listen? Did you want to add anything? I might raise it first.
You got to raise it first.
I've got three main points that I think need to be addressed. Like, for example, my concern is that I think there's a way that we've got to move towards having new developments picking up garbage and waste in an efficient manner. So having recycling, reusable type items. We've got a depot station that we use with Canada Bay now to actually drop off recyclables as well, like recyclable batteries and electronics and so forth. But in saying that, I think we've got to move to a new planning model, and this didn't address any of the possible planning resolutions, or I've read it incorrectly, is that we need to, in our DCP or LEP update, our waste requirements to have developments, unless they can't show us why they can't have waste drop waste stations in their developments and then be picked up within their developments. So we don't have a lot of the developments now are going to a concierge/property manager type service, where you'll actually see there's a property manager that manages these buildings, and they're taking the bins out, putting the bins in. I don't think updating our policy to read that you've got to remove your bins in a timely manner would solve the issue, because I don't think how you're going to police that. Like, are we going to have rangers standing on corner blocks watching to see if people their bins in on time, or the property manager? So I think we've got to move to one, a planning solution of having bins picked up or waste picked up on site within the development. I think Bankstown might have introduced this with having basements designed to allow smaller waste bins go in there and actually do the pickups. Two is that how do we start moving from those existing developments that are there that have 240 litre bins to 660 litre bins? How do we move them onto the new bin system? Because for every 660 litre bin, you'd probably get rid of three or four smaller bins. So rather than have 20 smaller bins sort of sitting out on the road with the ibis picking out of all of them, if you've got the bigger bins with the bigger lids, obviously it just means that you have your property manager having to put those bins in and out like they do with the smaller bins now. And three, how do we transition existing buildings to the new policy or possible practices? So while we receive and note the report, that we ask for a review, that you do all that's been listed there, I would add a five, that how do we
maybe not how, maybe investigate.
Yes. So that five, council investigate the opportunity to have 240 litre bins switched to 660 litre bins, reducing capacity as well as receptacles on street curbs. Investigate changing council's DCP to require storage and collection points in new developments to be on site. And seven is for council to also investigate a transition process for existing buildings to conform with any possible new policy/practices. So we need to put a strategy in place to say, okay, this is where we want to be in 3 years. One we could probably do straight away is change our DCP and LEP, because developments have to put in waste plans now anyway. They have to do a consultancy report a waste report as part of the development application. So Dylan, did you want to add anything to that? Or?
Mr. Mayor, I haven't got all that wording yet.
Okay.
Can we just go back to, I didn't capture 5 and 6 properly.
I feel we need to qualify 0.5 because it wouldn't apply to every property. It's only multi-unit dwellings or?
Yes. So 0.5, the council transition multi-unit dwellings, new multi-unit dwellings. From 240 litre receptacles to 660 litre receptacles, or bins, if you want to call them. To council investigate changing our current DCP to require storage and waste storage and collection points in new developments to be on site. part three, council to formulate a strategy, and you know, formulate and update our waste strategy with the intent to transition existing buildings to the new existing multi-development buildings or multi-dwelling buildings in town centres, to the new policy slash practices or practice. Dylan, you were going to add.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could, I think, just respond to the points you've raised there. I think there's some work for officers to do to probably do a little bit of an audit and present back, I guess, the range of issues that are being experienced around waste collection and in particular waste storage. And I guess this is really to identify the good, bad and the ugly in terms of what's happening out on the streets at the moment. And also, I want to take opportunity as well to present back what best practice looks like. If we can identify that within the BOO and LGA, that's great. But certainly, you know, Parramatta, Bankstown, other places might be ahead of us a little bit in terms of having new best practice, particularly around having recycling facilities provided by body corporates within basement areas of buildings. So we have some work to do to help councillors understand what that looks like. So if there'll be a further report that will come back that identifies and I think scopes out what the issue is that we need to deal with, and we'll offer some recommendations around what the solutions will look like as well.
Yep, so I'll add a part eight that council staff report back to council after the finalisation of the investigation. Yep.
Mr. Mayor, could I add something for consideration, please?
Yes. Well, the mover and seconder to approve, but what is it, Councillor?
Thank you. It's just, I think we're still missing a community engagement component with the strata managers, the building owners of these, you know, the actual facilities. I think they need to be part of the conversation because I'm sure a lot of them are trying their best and maybe they've got new ideas as well. They should be, you know, invited in if this is a thorough review.
Okay, all right, we've got, I think that'll be part, I think that's understood to be part of the investigation. So, council investigate the opportunity.
Doesn't actually say that though.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look at, the council staff report back to council, or just put that the general manager, because it sounds a bit, general manager report back to council after the investigation and consultation is finalised. But it's not going to be a formal consultation until we go out if we change the, but I guess that would cover some form of consultation. Are you happy with that, Dylan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I think we can work to that. We have a good working relationship with a number of body corporates. So I think we would be able to obtain their feedback on current waste collection arrangements and some of the difficulties they find, and we'll be able to report that back.
Okay. Any other questions? It's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Fernando Cook. Any speakers against? There being no speakers against, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that also carried, I believe, unanimously. Item 47/21, adoption of hoarding policy, moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Chan. Speakers? Speakers against? No speakers. Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 42/21, establishment of new supplier panel code of conduct reviewers. Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Ferno Cook. Speakers for, against. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against declare that carried unanimously. 43/21, new impressions, Burwood Moon Festival sponsorship proposal.
I just have a few questions once it's been moved.
I thought we sponsored the TBB for Moon Festival. Tomasa.
No, Ms. Smith. So the TBB was just a carnival in August. And new impressions are also seeking support for an event in September.
Yeah, my only policy is I think we sort of had a bit of a tradition where TVB did the Moon Festival and New Impressions, is it? Did the...
I believe Lawrence might still be on the meeting. I might ask her if she wants to just give a bit more clarification.
Yeah, I just think it contradicts having two moon festivals, that's all.
I've got a question too for Lawrence through you, Miss Mayor. My concern is just with the impact with on Burwood Festival itself, when our Burwood Festival it is. And also, that's a financial impact. And also on the park itself.
A couple of points on that, and then I'll hand over to Lawrence for clarifications around new impressions. The festival celebrations this year were scheduled to occur a bit later in October. So we got a bit of a safe distance from this one. The other consideration that we must make now is the limits actually imposed under the COVID safe restrictions on events, which will probably limit our events and events such as this one to most likely 5,000 people. So that might actually obviously reduce the impact on the actual park. Lawrence, I might hand over to you for further clarifications.
Okay, through you, through the GM. I'll just check if you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay, TVB and New Impressions are both media companies. TVB has traditionally held events in August, which is the TVB Anywhere festival. It's not labelled the Moon Festival. New Impressions approached council in 2019, I believe, because they wanted to hold a new moon festival in September. Both received in cash and in kind support that year, significantly less for New Impressions than for TVB. This year, last year we approached New Impressions because previously the Lunar New Year had been managed by community groups, and that was starting to have an impact on the quality and the logistics of that event. And so council stepped in to support them, and in the process brought New Impressions into the mix because they know the Chinese community and also the logistics of putting on an event. That event was cancelled. They wanted to run the Lunar New Year again this year in partnership with council, which they provided all of the COVID safe plans, etc. for, and in the end we had to cancel that as well due to the COVID situation. They wanted to again do their Moon Festival in September. We have discussed with them a longer term plan that we wanted to implement this year, which is called Burwood Spring Month of Events. And we were suggesting that if they had an event in the 19th of September, that would be the kickoff event under the umbrella of Burwood Spring as an event program. That would be our support for them, plus this report that we've put to council. As far as wear and tear on the park itself, they're spaced out sufficiently enough that the parks people have been involved in the consultation for this, and we feel that there is enough time between events that there is no detrimental effect on the park. The events are quite different. They have different audiences. New Impressions is intentionally looking for a broader Asian market rather than an older Chinese community. And again, they would be providing a COVID safe program, a plan before we would consider going forward with the event. But I think that given that TVB have been provided in-kind support and we have asked, well, when New Impressions approached us, we suggested that they move their date back so that we could use them as the beginning of our Burwood Spring program. They have agreed that, that's in their interest as well to have our Burwood Spring brand over their festival. But it's also a bit of goodwill because we have twice now approached them to be partners with us on the Lunar New Year Festival. They've done a lot of work on them, and twice now we've cancelled. Again, because of the COVID situation, but in this situation, we're thinking this is also part of goodwill towards New Impression. They're very professional. We do encourage events in Burwood Park, and we are also looking at opportunities elsewhere in the LGA. So that's probably where this is coming from. But there is no clash, so to speak, with TVB because the timeframes are different and they have different types of events.
Is there any other questions?
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
On this, the details which is attached to it, I heard that they were referring to something like 5,000 participants. However, in the papers, it is written 10,000 one day estimated. So I'm not, so it's written there 10,000 is a big number.
I think Lawrence answered that. Obviously, they need to put in a COVID safe plan. I've got concerns with having it.
Through the mayor.
Lawrence, I'll just.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So I think Lawrence has answered that, councillor. I think if it does proceed, they would have to have a COVID safe plan, and obviously would be in line with the health orders depending on the time. Is there any councillors that have any other questions? Well, I've got a concern, I must say. Sorry, councillor, did you have another question?
I just wanted to clarify. I was just actually wondering because, I mean, the event that we approved the funding for last month, we called a moon festival, and now we're saying that's actually not what that event is, and that's what this event is. I was just actually wondering if there's any issue with that around the fact that, you know, we've effectively now given money for something that's not what it is.
I think it sends the wrong message because we've given out two donations now. If this gets approved, and there's always been a historical TVB Anywhere Carnival which is celebrated around the Moon Festival, and then New Impressions have always had the council event with Lunar New Year. And now they're asking to be part of the Moon Festival, which I think while competition is good, I think it's wrong. And now council's been asked to throw funding at two events at the same time of the same sort of character. I know there was a comment made with regards to it's different audiences, it could be, but I mean, the Moon Festivals I've attended, and I think all the other councillors have attended as well, it's always been a young crowd. It's been a young and old crowd, because they usually bring internationally recognised entertainers from Hong Kong or China, which draws a very mixed crowd. In any event, it's for councillors. I've got an issue supporting it. But if councillors wish to, I would suggest out of goodwill. I mean, if we've cancelled on New Impressions twice because of the COVID, that's not our fault. I would suggest we possibly talk to them and move them to, I don't think they're going to be able to hold the event anyway. I think we need the funds to have them hold the Lunar New Year event. And hopefully we're out of COVID by then. So is there a motion?
Can I ask another question first?
Yes, sorry, Councillor.
That's right. So, through you, I just wanted to clarify then, just from what Lauren was saying, have they asked to move to the Moon time festival time of year, or have we, or has council suggested that to them? I just Lawrence? Wasn't sure.
Okay.
Through the mayor. New Impressions initially approached council in 2019 to hold a Moon event in September, which council agreed to and also provided in-kind support. As it came through as a council report similar to this. So their initial event with us was a Moon Festival. When we had difficulties being able to maintain a Lunar New Year Festival with the community group that managed it, we brought New Impressions on board. We actually approached New Impressions and asked them to help us with the Lunar New Year Festival. At that point, they still were intending on doing a Moon Festival. But they thought that they had interest in doing a Lunar New Year festival as a partner, a different arrangement than what we would be doing here, because in this case, this is their event. You know, basically we are hiring out the park to them, but we also, as part of wanting to be involved in this event, we are putting forward this option of providing them some in-kind support so we can have some sort of brand presence on their event, but ultimately this is their event, whereas the Lunar New Year event, we approached them so that we could be partners and they would help us produce that event. So we didn't approach them about Moon Festival, we approached them about Lunar New Year. So they have always, on their calendar has always been the interest in Moon Festival.
Mr. Mick, Lawrence, can I just add and ask a question myself? In that the event the council does not support the funding, New Impressions could still go ahead and book the park and run the event themselves, right?
That is true, because they could then hire. What they're asking for is for us to waiver the park fees so they could hold this event. But in if this report is not to be recommended, then they can still hire the park.
Okay.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, just with a question. I mean, but perhaps this is an opportunity. Does our staff have an overview of, I mean, this is a significant event, and I know the Lunar one is actually one of ours. Do we have kind of like a process to, Lawrence is saying, oh, you can just hire it, but do we have a process that we can somehow have a say in the impacts of any events on the park and on our festivals? I mean, I'm tending towards supporting it, but as a subsequent, motion, should we be looking at how we actually navigate this into the future, because we're going to come up against this every single year. And I think I agree, you know, is it how many moons do we want? Is it the same audience? Is it a different audience? What are we trying to achieve? I understand we've got some branding, which is fantastic. But the overall picture of our events, how does it fit in? Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Lawrence.
Lawrence, did you want to?
Yeah, sorry. We have at the moment are investigating exactly the questions that you're raising. We are reviewing the outdoor events policy, which was originally the outdoor events policy for Burwood Park only, but we are extending that to other areas of the LGA. And part of that will be reviewing the policy itself and also the guidelines of decision making. So that will be then the way that we would determine whether an event it wants support from council or not. If it just purely wants to hire the park, what interest is that of to the community and what value is that of to the community? They're the sort of principles that will be outlined in the policy that we're currently developing. So not ready yet, but we've certainly started to look at how do we navigate the fact that Burwood Park, not so much now in COVID, but certainly we've had a lot of approach previously from people who want to hire Burwood Park. who have events that may or may not have been of any value to our community. So
we've got a policy in place because it's got to meet a certain number of guidelines as well. But okay, I think that answers that question. Is there any other questions from councillors? Did Councillor Crichton, did you have a question?
Sure. Not so much a question, but I would like to move against the recommendation when the time comes. My suggestion would be that we go back to this group. They are a private company, and we look for them perhaps to come again back to Burwood for, say, Lunar New Year.
Do I have any questions before I ask for a motion? So you're proposing to move a motion, Councillor Fernow-Cook, Councillor Crichton.
See if I can quickly write it, I will, okay. Yes.
So you're suggesting a motion that council not support a partial and in-kind contribution of up to $10,000.
Yes.
For this event.
Yes.
As councillors, we don't have to give a reason, I guess. So that council doesn't support an in-kind contribution of up to $10,000, mm-hmm. and that two council approach New Impressions about supporting a similar event during Lunar New Year celebrations.
Correct, in 2022. I'd be much more comfortable with that. I think this is too confusing.
Okay, have I got a seconder?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Councillor Del Duca. Okay. Did you wish to speak?
I think it's all been said. I'm very mindful that that we already have a Moon Festival. This is an additional one. I think that I do share some concerns about Burwood Park being heavily utilised. I would like to see some events, lower scale events, going up to Woodstock. It always concerns me that that's such a beautiful facility that seems to be quite underutilised. But I just think everyone's go-to space is Burwood Park, and we don't need to at this stage. And I think the complexity of COVID makes it really difficult to move ahead in this with any certainty at this time.
Okay. Councillor Del Duca, did you wish to add anything?
Yeah, I will do. Look, I think it's great if private entities want to come in and use the park and they're able to hire it. But I guess we don't want to start a precedent where every single time an entity does something we're going to be giving in-kind contributions. I think as a council, if we put a plan together of these are the events that we need, we have a Moon Festival that we're supporting. This could be a Lunar Festival that we're supporting. And they can be ones that we support with in-kind donations. If people want to use the park for different events at different times, or as Councillor Crichton said, Woodstock or any other area, they're entitled to put an application and use it. And we're not saying no, don't use the park. I think we're just saying we need to sort of pick what we are supporting as part of a Burwood Council event. Otherwise, we end up giving in-kind donations to every single event that happens in the park, and then what's the point of even having the fee in the first place? I support Councillor Crichton's motion.
All right. Any other speakers? Speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Sorry, did you get that, Michelle? Council not support a partial. Okay. Council approach New Impressions about supporting a similar. Okay. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried. Next item is the adjustment to council meeting schedule August/September 2021, item 44/21. Any questions? We move by
Councillor. I'll move.
Seconded by Councillor Chan. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried. Investment report.
I'll move.
We move by Councillor Fernow-Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried. Now, just bear with me one sec because I've lost my agenda. Here it is. Information items, item 14/21, which is the Merrill discretionary grants, which is listed there. There's also item IN 15/21, power of journey to general manager. We've got a motion to go into closed session. It's been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Furneaux-Cook. The above items be considered in closed session to the exclusion of the press and public in accordance with section 10A2C of the Local Government Act 1993, as the matters involve information that would, if disclosed, confer a commercial advantage on a person with whom the council is conducting or proposes to conduct business. Is there any objections to council going into closed session? I note there's no objections. So it's been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Furneaux-Cook, put the motion that we go into closed session. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Can I ask, Michelle, that we stop recording? I note we're still recording, Michelle.